You're listening to Blast Processing, the official podcast of all things video gaming, gadget, and gear related on DVDverdict.com. On this week's episode, Kevin lounges in luxury. Steve boldly goes where no man has gone before. John becomes the father, and the father becomes the John.
You said it, Chewie.
That was the longest intro ever. I didn't think he was going to stop.
He was pretty long-winded, wasn't he?
But it was very interesting. What he had just... Yeah, it was.
Yeah, get out. Just keep walking. Don't even turn around.
Oh,
you know what you did.
You know what you did.
Anyway, for those of you who don't...
She was my wife.
You'd like that, wouldn't you?
So, for those of you who don't speak Wookiee, you're listening to Blast Processing, the official podcast of all things video gaming,
gadget,
and gear related
on DVDverdict.com.
That was smooth.
This is an exciting week for us because we keep making the joke about gadget and gear. We never talk about gadgets or Richard Gere.
I personally don't like talking about Richard Gere.
I'm not even going to acknowledge the fact that you guys mentioned Richard
Not since that incident in the nightclub in Budapest.
But moving on, later on this episode, we've actually got an exciting review for you.
Ooh. Is it Tiger Woods PGA Tour 13?
You wish. TNA Pro Buckfucker.
Oh, no.
How many minutes are we into this podcast?
Oh, no.
You should be glad that it's minutes and not seconds like in the old days.
You said it, Chewie.
So, starting things off, Steve.
What?
It's come to my attention that you finished Bioshock Infinite.
I have.
I'm just going to go into the other room.
You're going to sit down, soldier up.
Kev doesn't like conflict.
No, I try to avoid it. Because we all have what we like. And let's be happy with that.
I'm perfectly happy with that.
I get mad.
Spoiler warning, plug your ears until you hear the Wookiee. Actually, how are they going to hear the Wookiee if their ears are plugged? I didn't think this through.
No, you really didn't.
We'll call you and let you know when spoilers have stopped.
Yeah, this is a spoiler
alert. But they're
not going
to hear their phone ringing.
Fuck! what'd you think?
Yeah.
Now, are you reviewing the ending, or are you? Is that your opinion of the game? Yeah.
Like, no, that's just my opinion. All right.
Don't let the end flavor your whole impression.
Okay.
Ding, ding, ding. And they're off.
There's a pretty girl dancing around with a giant card that has the number one on it.
That's my wife.
No, it's...
I want Balboa.
You hear me, old man? You tell Balboa I'm coming for him.
If he dies, he dies.
I must play. Well, that was a terrible Dolph Lundgren impersonation.
I'm sorry. I wasn't prepared. I was put on the spot.
I was talking about mine.
Oh, okay. I had the same problem with Infinite that I had with the original Bioshock. And
it must be said, it probably took Infinite a lot longer for this problem.
What I was just about to say, only it's considerably less magnified than it was with the original Bioshock. The original Bioshock, by about the third level of the game, the malaise had set in, and I realized I was playing a mediocre shooter. The new one, well, Infinite, is still a mediocre shooter. As a shooter, it's nothing exceptional whatsoever. The shooting mechanics are pretty plain, floaty, the weapons aren't particularly, like, they don't give you a whole lot of feedback to what you're doing, you know, it doesn't really feel like there's ever any recoil other than the fact that your camera jumps. Technically, it's just the shooting fundamentals feel old. They feel pretty archaic.
And you know what? I think because I don't come from a military shooter background, I don't play any of those games.
Yeah,
so you probably know what a good one is like, but I don't.
Fair enough.
Why when I played it, I didn't have any problems.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I mean, my whole thing with a shooter, I like playing a shooter where it feels like you're more than a floating camera.
Yeah.
You know, I like a shooter that has a sense of physics and stuff to it. Yeah. You know, it has a sense of inertia and stuff to the game, whereas the shooting in Infinite does not.
Right.
It feels like a game from, you know, early last generation, we'll say. Right. You know, like the, in terms of feel, not in terms of look, not in terms of technical, but like just simple straight up shooting mechanics.
Don't watch.
Yeah, you know, they don't feel exceptional. And I think the biggest problem that I have with the final act is it's pretty much entirely shooter. Yeah. You know, you get that awesome scene where you go to the slums, the shantytown.
Oh, yeah, shantytown.
Shantytown in Finton.
Yeah, you go to shantytown, you get like, some really cool stuff there. You get, like, the gospel chick singing Fortunate Son.
Yeah.
You get the basement of the bar, which I don't want to spoil because that was pretty awesome. It was a quiet little moment, but so good.
It's
awesome.
This is when more of the quantum physics stuff starts creeping in the story.
And that stuff, that doesn't even really bother me, because, I mean, I kind of knew...
No, that's what I said. That's when I said that stuff starts getting a little bit heavier, and it actually starts getting cool, right?
It becomes part of the story, because you realize, like, the first time I went through a tear, I was like, okay, we'll go in, we'll do that, then we'll leave again. But no, we go into another one, and then another one.
Yeah.
And in fact, you're going deeper into alternate versions of the game that you were just playing.
Yeah, yeah.
You never get back to that original version.
And I think that was a lot of the problem with it. Like, the first two acts did such an amazing job of getting me enthralled with that world. You know, really, like, the feeling of exploration, the feeling of discovery, and just seeing Columbia.
Yeah.
And then the tonal shift is almost too much for me. You know, even Elizabeth gets a lot darker. She gets a lot more just vicious.
Yeah.
And the character changes. And for the first two-thirds of the game, you know, I'm feeling this real attachment between these two characters and stuff. And then in the third act, it all becomes just move to the next checkpoint.
Once you get to the elevator ride with her, you guys know what I'm talking
about. Yeah, I know what you're talking
about. Right?
Yeah.
When she takes your hand and lays it on her cheek for a second.
Yeah.
And after that, yeah, she's a... It's almost too heavy of a jump.
Yeah. The tonal shift, it's a really abrupt
tonal
shift.
She becomes really, really bitter really, really fast.
Yeah, it is an abrupt tonal shift. And the ending... wow, that was... That last fight, that last conflict was horseshit. Utter total horseshit. That was terrible. Absolutely terrible. And if I ever meet Ken Levine, low G list.
I think... See, for me, that lasted all of 10 minutes, so I didn't feel like a pain or an ass, or I didn't like it.
It all depends on your weapon loadout. And yeah. Me, I hadn't switched vigors. That's another problem I got the game.
Right? Oh, the vigors were useless.
Yeah, I didn't switch vigors since I picked up Shock Jockey. And I had a loadout on me that basically turned this thing into just an unstoppable wave of lightning, right?
Right.
I hadn't felt the need to use any of the other ones, so that combined with the gun I had, I was making fairly quick work of these of targets, but with the wrong weapon loadout, you would be at that for hours, and it's just such a shift in gameplay.
Yeah.
Right?
And it's one of the most heinous things in shooters anywhere. Like, I got an idea. Let's take the one concept that's pretty much universally reviled in shooters, third person or first person, and make it the final encounter of our game, an escort mission.
Hmm.
Only instead of escorting a person, you're escorting an inanimate object.
Yeah.
It was lame. It was really, really, really lame. It was just... It felt so trite. And, like, at that point, storyline-wise, having those, like, the people you're encountering come back at the end of it, just, it was pointless. It served no purpose. You had, like, you, a lot of the threads had been resolved. All of the Vox stuff was over and done, and to have them come back in such strong force was just like, why? Like, I would have preferred a really, really nice, long, drawn-out puzzle boss fight against the Songbird or something like that, you know?
I was expecting a Songbird fight.
Like, that would have made more sense.
Especially since you never really fight the Songbird.
They never tell you anything about the Songbird,
which is really disappointing considering we were talking about this the first time you mentioned Bioshock.
Yeah.
By the time you reach the second and third act of Bioshock, you are actively seeking out and hunting down Big Daddies because it's so much fun to bring one down.
There was no real Big Daddy in Bioshock Infinite. No. I mean, there was the handyman and the automated
Lincoln or Washington.
Yeah, yeah.
I think those guys fought a couple Comstock ones at some point.
Yeah, but those guys aren't Big Daddy.
I wasn't afraid of them.
All it just is just no. The mechanized patriot. First time the mechanized patriot came out, it was your first boss fight in the game. When I forget the guy's name in the Hall of Heroes, talking through the loudspeaker, and you see the thing start smashing its way out of the case.
Yeah,
I was like, oh crap, oh crap, oh crap, this is going to be awesome, this is going to be awesome, eat it, Robo George Washington, and then the fight is over in 15 seconds.
Yeah.
It's just, he's just there as a bullet sponge.
Yeah, same thing with the handyman, I didn't find those
handyman
guys.
Was lame. Yeah. The handyman was really lame.
Oh, and you want to talk about lame? Ken Levine, in the year leading up to the release of Bioshock Infinite, they were putting videos up talking about all the heavy hitters in the game. They showed the Mechanized Patriot, the Handyman...
Songbird, of course.
The Siren. No, they didn't show one for the Songbird.
No?
No, because it wasn't a boss fight, right?
That's true.
The Siren, and this one called the Boys of Silence. And he was promising with the Boys of Silence that it was going to be this awesome stealth... Like, whenever they came into the game, it was going to be this stealth-based section. He said, think the security cameras from the original Bioshock or Metal Gear Solid, only they're walking around actively looking for you.
Yeah, and I just ran past all of them.
Yeah, and
I never once slowed down, because at that point in the game, I was like, just get this fucking thing over with.
And what is it? And what are they? But all they are, it's three little things that happen just to start another wave of baddies coming at you, right?
Yeah.
And it's just, it's such a cool... And all of the heavy hitters had such awesome art design.
Yeah, those
but it felt like
they looked cool, awesome. Man. They looked really awesome. But the guys they summoned was all guys wearing George Washington masks.
They're all wearing Founding Fathers masks.
Yeah, they were lame.
Yeah, and it's just, but they showed all this awesome art design, and I always get this feeling with Ken Levine. It's the same as Peter Molyneux.
Yeah,
you know, this guy comes out and he talks this big huge game, and they got all these great ideas, but then it's like, oh, we're out of time. It'd be a pity to waste that, throw it in there right there.
I don't even think it's that we're out of time. It's just, I don't think it's ever really implemented properly.
Yeah.
You know?
No, because it's just, it was such a cool, creepy-looking thing. Dude, that big, huge brass helmet that looks like it'd be the most horrible thing in the world to have stuck on your head. Right? Thank you, Chewie.
I agree.
Chewie didn't play a whole lot of that game, though.
He didn't, no. Apparently. The only other real issue I have with it is the ending itself.
Yeah.
One of the elements of the ending, one of the two big revelations, I loved. I thought it was absolutely beautiful. I thought it was really well handled. It was disappointing because, you know, you get that whole love unrequited thing that just, you know, tugs at the heartstrings of someone like myself who's a bit of a romantic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wanted to see Booker and Elizabeth settle down in their white picket, like little house with their white picket fence, et cetera, et cetera, you know. And, of course, this makes that impossible.
Yeah.
But it was still beautifully handled. Then there was the other bombshell, which felt forced, trite, done entirely for shock value. It served no purpose whatsoever in the storyline, and made not a lick of fucking sense.
And it also created, pardon the pun, infinite paradoxes.
Yeah.
When you apply it to the way things are going with the tears.
Right.
Just that idea in general is just, it's stupid.
Yeah, it was done entirely for shock value.
Yeah.
It was done entirely to give people something to talk about.
So I liked it.
Okay.
But I'm not going to defend it, because I just liked it. I thought it was really cool, and it shocked me, and I was like, oh, yeah. As soon as it was real, I was like, yeah, it's awesome.
It's just, it's too against that character's nature. Way too against. It just goes against everything that Booker stands for.
Yeah, but which Booker? We're talking about infinite, again, using the pun, infinite realities.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what the whole game is about. It's these multiple parallel realities, right?
But this Booker is a constant. He's in all of them.
Yeah, and that's what she says. There's always a man, there's always a lighthouse, there's always a city.
Right.
And that was the whole thing, you know, when you're earlier in the game, they give you the coin, heads or tails, and he turns around, there's like 123...
Heads or tails. All tails.
And also the thing, he doesn't row. He doesn't row.
He never rows.
There's certain things about Booker across all realities, and every time a major choice comes up, you're apparently creating another one.
Yeah.
Right?
Against all these infinite realities, Booker never changed. There's things about Booker that never change.
The only way it could make any sense is if the transformation happened after Anna. And it would have had to have been a long time after Anna.
Yeah.
But then how would he have gotten back to before this to create Columbia and all that stuff? Like, it's...
Right.
You know, there's no time travel. It's just dimensions.
Yeah.
So it makes no sense. Like, it just... It, To me, Booker DeWitt could not have become that character.
Right.
No way. It just, it doesn't make any sense. And maybe it's not supposed to, but I think, again, I think Levine just kind of threw it in there because he thought all of us simpleton, mouth-breathing gamers would be sitting there playing it going, oh my god!
This simpleton, mouth-breathing gamer enjoyed it. I was fooled.
Kevin, have you seen Looper?
I have not seen Looper yet.
Looper does it so much better.
Yeah, Looper does it so much better.
Yeah, no, I dug that. And what was I was going to say something, but I've forgotten what it was because we...
No, we can't take anything away from the fact that, you know, up until these couple problems come in, Vox Populi, it's a brilliant, brilliant artistic endeavor.
Man, the first two-thirds of the game are absolutely phenomenal. But the thing is, the first two-thirds of the game, you can count on one hand how many bullets you break out.
Yeah.
You know, even like the sequence in the Hall of Heroes, which I know you really like, John, that drove me nuts because I was doing too much shooting. You know, I just didn't like the shooting.
Right. Dude, Robot George Washington, I was freaking out.
The Robot George, like, I mean, I understand having the boss fight and stuff, that was cool.
All that cutout museum stuff looked fantastic.
It did. It really did.
My brother Joe was over watching me when I got to that spot, and he was like flipping out.
But see, and that stuff was wicked, and like when you're going through and... You got Buddy on the loudspeaker, and you got Booker both saying, you know, that's not how it happened. Comstock wasn't there, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And, I mean, yes, that kind of sets up stuff for the ending.
I don't know who this man is, Elizabeth, that he didn't lead the 7th Cavalry.
Exactly, yeah. Right? You know, and the reason he didn't is because
we
know why, and et cetera, et cetera. Not to be too blatant in spoiling it, but,
oh,
you know.
This is what I was trying to think of.
Also because the leader of the 7th Cavalry was...
Spoiler alert for the next 15 seconds.
Yeah.
Because I have to talk about this, and I can't be vague about it.
No.
In the end, during that sequence in the kind of chapel-y area, you get a choice between stopping Comstock, interfering in him, you know, being rough with Elizabeth, and not interfering.
Really?
Yes. You had to press a button to decide. And I interfered. And I wonder what would happen if
I don't think you had a choice. I think it was just a button just to interfere.
No. There was... Or maybe you could not press the button.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you left... Because I left it running there for about 10 seconds, and it just seemed to repeat the animation over again.
So you had
Is that where you kill...
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, no, because it just seemed like he got to the point
where... Yeah, it seemed like that was the only choice
he got to repeat the animation and just started to say, ask him again! Ask him what happened to...
Okay. Alright, that was something I was wondering about afterwards. Because,
and see, that too tells me, like, okay, maybe we get more metaphysical and we say, you know, okay, maybe that's the representation of all of his pent-up anger. He hates Comstock so much because of what he did, you know, with Anna and all of that kind of stuff. But it's still, it just doesn't fit the character. It doesn't fit that character you've been playing as. Like,
especially all the times in the game he brings up, when she brings up, like, the... how do you get used to all the blood in your hands?
Yeah.
You gotta learn to live with it.
Yeah.
Right?
And like, I mean, why would Comstock have come up with all this false shepherd stuff? And, you know, like it's just, it doesn't ring true.
Yeah.
It just does not ring true to me.
Alright. That's cool. I loved it. It'll be on my best.
I mean, I'm sure we could go deeper. I'm sure we could talk about, like, you know, how this is a symbolism
for
this.
Are you sure, Kyle? We can go deeper.
I'm sure we could put a dream within our dream. And I'm sure we could get into, well, Comstock symbolizes this and that and the other thing, and Booker symbolizes, you know. But, like, it's...
We're talking about a game where you shoot lightning at people.
Not even that. And I don't want to sell it short by just dumbing it down to being a first-person shooter. Like, I can't do that. Because, like, I mean, it's ambitious.
Yeah.
It is ambitious. It's ambitious in its storytelling. It's ambitious in its design. And, I mean, I give Levine credit for being ambitious. But just like the original Bioshock, I don't think Levine is ambitious enough himself to pull it off.
Right.
That's the problem. His ideas are ambitious. His abilities are not.
He needs a tag team partner.
He does. Exactly. He needs, you know, it needs to be Ken Levine featuring...
And Schaefer.
Yeah, Tim Schaefer. There you go. That'd be insane. Or, like, Ken Levine featuring Hideo Kojima, you know? Like, something like this, right?
No, because Kojima couldn't program a shooter as, like, fucking dependent on another. It'd be Booker hiding the entire time.
Okay, so, game designed by Ken Levine, shooter designed by,
Who's the head at Gorilla?
No, this is John Carmack.
There you go.
So, there's Bioshock.
Cool. Bioshock Infinite. We've had our talk, and no one has drawn blood.
Now, I don't want to diminish the game, because, you know, I mean, the day I finished it, after 2.5 hours on that final sequence the night before, and then the day I finished it and seeing that ending for the first time and stuff, it was kind of like, fuck this game.
Yeah.
You know, I took it off the shelf, I traded it in that day.
Only because
there was another game out that I wanted, and I got $42 trade credit for it.
I did not know you had traded it in.
Same day.
Wow.
Same day I finished it, it was gone. I'll get it back eventually. It's one of those things. I said, I'm going to get rid of it now.
I did the same thing with the first Bioshock, and then I got it for like $9.99 a year later.
Well, see, that was the thing. I just said, you know what? I'm never going back to it anytime soon. You know, maybe in 2 years' time, I'll sit down and want to revisit Columbia.
Yeah.
But for now, you know what? The absolute joy that that game brought me in the beginning, I'm going to live with that.
Nice.
I'm going to stick with that. I'm going to stick with my good feelings of it. And eventually, I will revisit it again. And maybe I'll change my tune. I don't know. But I think part of why I feel the way I do is because I was so enamored with the first half of the game.
Yeah.
And then for them to just change it up so much in the second half. Unlike the original Bioshock, where it just became a rote shooter. You know, and the weapons felt like crap. Like, the machine gun had no recoil, and et cetera, yada, yada, yada. You might as well have been playing Doom. Yeah.
And Andrew Ryan spoke with a cadence that drove me insane. A man chooses to not have his lips sync up with his voice.
So, anyway, what's next? Oh, don't you have a game to talk about?
Oh, yes, I do.
Wasn't there, like, a half... big game released recently?
Yeah, I'm excited that I'm not reviewing a downloadable title or...
We're excited game. About that, too.
Yeah.
Oh, burn!
We're excited that you're not reviewing Shovelware. Wait! I spoke too soon.
That's right, because I've got a pretty big shovel here in my hands. Yeah. You guys remember the big plate of crow I had to eat in 2011 when Mortal Kombat was released?
It was pretty tasty crow, though.
Yeah, it was. I was very happy that that game didn't suck.
There was nothing wrong with eating crow when it tastes good.
Yeah.
So, it's been 2 years, and I don't know about the rest of the world, but I was kind of wondering what's NetherRealm Studios been up to. It turns out, you guys know about this, everyone knows about this game, because it was...
I don't know, man. I don't know if anybody does.
You should probably say the name of the game, and that way our listeners will know.
Shut up, Kevin. Yeah, it's Injustice, Gods Among Us, a 2D fighter set in the DC universe.
The DCU.
And, I don't know, I'm really torn on it. I really am torn. Honestly, I think NetherRealm are a decent enough studio. I think Ed Boon has a love and understanding of fighting games. You know, especially since, you know, he did that Mortal Kombat reboot and learned how to make a decent fighter. And that, as we all know, made gobs and gobs of money.
Did really well, yeah.
Did phenomenally well. And WB Games, who own NetherRealm Studios and DC Comics, kind of said okay and threw the DC Universe property at them. And what results is a perfectly technically solid fighter, and it's got great production value, you guys saw, but there's something missing. There really is something missing. And I'm going to wait for Steve to say what's missing, John, is the Marvel Universe. But it's even getting aside the fact, like, to really enjoy, you probably have to be a massive DC Comics fan.
Yeah.
Which I am not. I'll be the first to admit I haven't actively collected comic books since the early to mid-90s. Pick up a trade paperback every now and again to check out, but I don't know, even besides that, it really feels like it's half the game Mortal Kombat was.
See, my theory, and I'm going to keep this as brief as I possibly can, is that certain mediums should never transcend their own medium into other territories.
Yeah.
Certain things work best as certain things. You know, Doom works best as a video game. You know, like, Spider-Man works best as a comic book. The Lethal Weapon series works best as a movie. You know, that kind of thing. Superman and Wonder Woman and The Flash and Green Lantern and Green Arrow and Batman and Nightwing and whoever else, all these other characters that I don't give a fuck about, work best as comic books. I just they don't seem to have a place in video games, and
not in fighters.
And I was about to say,
because the Batman games are fucking awesome.
The Batman games are awesome, but you know what's not in the Batman games?
Robin.
Any other superheroes?
That's right. It's just villains.
Yes, yeah. And even then, they're Batman villains.
Yeah.
They don't cross over. They don't. You know, you don't see Superman roaming around in the Batman games because it would ruin them. It would break them.
Yeah.
You know. But it's a situation where I think that the characters work best in their own mediums.
Yeah.
Most of these characters. And I mean, I don't want to come out and say, oh, Superman sucks, because there's billions of people out there who love Superman. You know? You'd be hard-pressed to find anybody on this planet who didn't recognize Superman. You know? It's like Mickey Mouse and Mario. But I don't particularly enjoy Superman. And when I sit down to see someone playing as him in a fighting game, I yawn uncontrollably.
It's just because the lack of logic that gets to me. Yeah. In any game where Catwoman could potentially beat up Superman, and no matter how much I'm putting my whole believability thing on, you know, I can't deal with it. I can't believe it, and I find it ridiculous.
Yeah.
Very. Well, this is what I was finding ridiculous about it, is I watched Kevin's face when I did Superman's super move in it, in which he punches a person out of the atmosphere, chases them into space, and then punches them back down to Earth.
Yeah.
That was Catwoman. And Kevin's face was just trying to figure out, he just killed her. Superman just killed her.
But it's a comic book, Kevin. No, it's not. It's a video game. See what I mean?
Yeah, she should be dead.
I mean, technically, the game is gorgeous.
Beautiful game.
Well, they do really ever make costumes. A beautiful game. Mortal Kombat was gorgeous. Injustice, the fights are going on, and the background is being just... Stages are demolished with the impact of every hit you're putting on. You can rip pieces out of the background. I saw Steve start to laugh in the stage set in Atlantis when I picked up the giant snow globe like that and smashed it over someone's
And that was cool. That was pretty cool. But it's like, it's baseless.
Yeah.
You know, it really is. It's baseless. And I can understand people enjoying it on that total turn off your brain and just mash some buttons.
And it's a turn off your brain type of fighter.
Yeah.
Let's just talk about fighting mechanics now. Injustice has three attacks. I hate when fighting games have that dumbed down dial-a-combo style system. And I realize we're talking about a game from the makers of Mortal Kombat here, but the Mortal Kombat reboot had a button for each fist, a button for each foot, and the combos were, like, they had the combos lengthy and smart enough to feel deep, right?
Yeah.
Injustice, you've got three attacks, and you've got this trait button. Every character does something different, you know, Bane will pump up on Venom and get a bit stronger. Doomsday, just his defense just goes through the roof. Catwoman, you don't actually hit the trait button with her. As you're scoring hits on him, she starts building up this little slash meter, and you can just hit that to unleash a really big combo. And some of the traits are really cool, but it feels stupid. It feels like one of those games where, you know, they've got the one button pressed to do the Hadouken.
Like the X-Men versus Street Fighter, or not, what was it? Marvel versus Street Fighter, Marvel versus Capcom.
Marvel versus Capcom, yeah.
Tatsunoku versus Capcom, and all. Yeah. That's what it felt like, was Tatsunoku versus Capcom. Just that, kind of, you're sitting there playing and going, I'm going to be bored with this in 15 minutes. And it's a pity for me to say that it feels like half the game Mortal Kombat was when we're talking about something that's got a story mode that's about 12 to 15 hours long, with cinema scenes alone taking more than 2 hours.
Right, I
love it, right?
Wow.
It's got this massive story mode. It's got...
I bet the story blows, though.
Oh, yeah. All these people... I've read reviews when the game came out, and they're saying it's the best story that has ever been applied to a fighting game. No, it's not. It's fucking stupid. It's horrible, and it just... I gotta just out and out say it. If they were that interested in shoehorning that much Batman stuff, mythos, into it, and I can understand that, because Batman on his own is pretty fucking awesome.
He's a money character.
Yeah. Batman's a money character. Just make a Batman fighting game.
I thought of that earlier while you were playing it. I thought it'd be really cool if the only characters in this game were the Vigis, like the vigilante guys.
Yeah, and how many of the backgrounds were Batman-based stuff, right?
Oh, all of them. I thought pretty much all I saw other than Atlantis looked like Batman.
Yeah, and we were sitting there watching it, and Steve made the comment, man, Deathstroke looks fucking badass, but he's fighting Superman, and this is stupid.
Yeah, he's killing Superman with Glock 7s.
Yeah. Yeah, because all the Deathstroke... I'm just sorry he didn't pull off his super move, in which he, you know, throws his broadsword up in the air, unloads a bunch of bullet rounds in you, and then just jumps up and kicks the thing straight down into them.
Okay.
It's awesome, but it's going to bend in half on Superman's chest.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, just make a Batman fighter.
Yep.
Yeah.
That would have been pretty awesome.
You know, don't shoehorn a bunch of stuff. Like, I'm sitting there going, oh, that happened in Teen Titans. And I'm a loser for knowing that.
Shazam! That's all I got to say.
Yeah, Shazam.
Yeah, just...
Why has he got a hood to distinguish him from Superman?
I don't know why.
And there's so much... Just so much stuff in there. All these unlockables. You know, you can set the arcade mode so you can only fight heroes or only fight villains. There's all sorts of different parameters you can unlock for it. There's hours upon hours upon hours of gameplay, but it doesn't feel like half the game that Mortal Kombat was. And I'm really, really hoping and praying that I'm not just that fucking shallow and that you pull the blood and gore out of Mortal Kombat.
You know what? All I could think while I was watching you play it earlier was... If we were playing Mortal Kombat right now, we'd be going, oh, that's just wrong.
Yeah, and I mean, the super attacks all look awesome, but we're just there going, it's stupid.
Yeah.
It really is stupid. Yeah.
And I think, you know what, I hate to say it, I hate to be the one to throw that card out there, but I think part of the appeal of Mortal Kombat is just the ridiculousness of the gore and
the
level they take it to. Like that's what makes it enjoyable.
But I mean, you didn't pick up the controller. Kev, you've played Mortal Kombat. You were here that night we were all
the controller.
Did this game feel as good as Mortal Kombat?
God, no.
No. It looked very stiff.
Yeah.
It looked more like old Mortal Kombat.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And all the combos seem to be based around that whole juggling people in the air. You've got, like, attacks, you know, you smash them into pieces of the background, they go flying and bounce up, and it feels like a fighter trapped in the early 90s.
Yeah.
That's not Street Fighter.
So, Chewie, how do you rate Injustice? I concur.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Now we do the news.
You laughed during it, so it didn't count.
The news. Time for the news.
It still doesn't relate. Yeah. No, you've lost it, man. We've done it.
In case you guys missed that.
News.
Gaming news. Here we go.
Some news. He's still trying, but it's not working. News. Go ahead.
You broke him.
We did.
High five.
It's over.
Here we go. Born to be.
It's like we're on a radio show and you've got a button that you press for the Wookiee sound.
On the radio!
So, first in the news.
Just read the news, for God's sake.
Great news, everyone!
You see, that's what you should be doing.
Futurama's been cancelled again. It has been, hey?
It has been, yeah. Comedy Central's pulling the plug this summer. But now, apparently, it's a bit more, you know, its time has come.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They're like my Nana.
Oh my god.
Okay, let's get to the video game news.
Oh, come on, guys. It was Wreck-It Ralph. That's a movie about gaming.
Microsoft will be unwrapping their next gen offering, the Xbox 720 or Xbox Revolution or Xbox Wii.
The next box,
the Xboxy, whatever the fuck they call it. Who knows? On May 21st.
Xbox Persephone.
May 21st of this year.
Who wants to buy a console about hungry Greek bras?
I'm very curious. That's going to be fun.
Not much new in the rumor mill that we haven't talked about already. Ray Chewy. I never even touched him then.
He just goes
to kind of mind of his own.
Whatever he wants to.
Not much that we haven't already talked about. You know, we talked about the online, always online thing. We talked about the rumored games, yada, yada, yada. Latest predictions from us. Some manner of really awkward presentation about motion control.
Yeah, definitely. And voice commands.
Yeah. Xbox, Bing, Star Trek Into Darkness. Xbox, Bing, Nicki Minaj.
Oh, God.
Why'd you have to go there?
Xbox, Bing, Iron Man 3. Xbox, Bing, Microsoft is lame.
You know what they're not going to be able to Bing?
What?
Games, because there ain't going to be any.
Xbox, Bing, gaming console.
Yep. Should be fun. I actually watched all of the PlayStation 4 press conference.
I watched it all live.
Yeah, me too, online. Mm. It was fun. It was like an event.
It was.
Like my brother or my dad will sit down and watch the draft.
Yeah.
And I was like, I remember telling my dad, like, this is the draft for me.
Yeah. It is. And you know what else? I mean, we've already talked about Sony's conference ad nauseum. It was a good show.
It was.
Regardless of what people think, you know, the typical cynical douchebags. And you know what? I hope Microsoft's is just as good.
More on cynical douchebags later.
Yeah. Continuing with the news, Nintendo will not be participating in the press briefing circle at E3 this year. With a pair of products struggling to find their footing on store shelves, one has to ask if this points to troubling times for the Big N. Nintendo have promised a booth and some smaller announcements, but considering the last first party to do the same was Sega, we can't help but be concerned.
Or I can't help but point and laugh.
Yeah.
And say, I told you so.
Yeah.
Short-sighted, short-term.
For a company that gets so much love, they so love to ignore their fan base completely and utterly.
Diehard Nintendo fans are better wise than the video game industry.
Yeah. Do you need me to take you somewhere, Nintendo fan, tonight? Do you need me to take you someplace safe where that big, mean Nintendo can't hit you anymore? Do you need me to take you to PlayStation Land?
What's love got you?
Nintendo is the Ike Turner of video.
Oh my god, I can't believe you guys are going there. My god.
No, we do not want to give you a new Metroid game. Instead, have this 3D portable handheld system.
With a really bad version of a Kid Icarus game. We know you've been wanting Kid Icarus for years. Well,
you can have Kid Icarus, and here's the pedestal you have to play it on. My hands don't bend this way.
Now we can go off and rule the universe from beyond the grave.
Check into a psycho ward.
Whatever comes first. What else is happening in video games?
Shinji Mikami has pulled... Did I pronounce that properly? I did.
Yeah, totally sure. Did. Whatever.
Ninja
Gaiden. Sounded pretty Japanese to me.
Ninja Gaiden. Shinji Mikami has pulled a corner off the wrapping of his first release under Tango Gameworks and Bethesda. And it is The Evil Within.
Bum, bum, bum.
Promising a return to the roots of survival horror, all we can say is it looks pretty freaky deaky. John will be playing this one with the lights on. Seriously, have you guys seen any of this stuff?
I will be playing it with the lights off,
yeah.
But I will have Mark Akerman sitting on the couch next to me.
It's just
I will have the world's manliest unicorn keeping me
just
safe.
Big arms around you.
Yeah, keeping me safe.
Well, he was. No, it's just this game just looks utterly creepy.
The actual like screenshots and stuff I've seen of it, the trailer so far, like the live action trailer and stuff, seems to be a little bit misleading.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's kind of... It looks more like an Alan Wake type of deal.
Yeah, I'll bet
which
you...
I'm not complaining about because Alan Wake terrified the ever-loving shit.
But yeah, I'll bet you it's like Alan Wake until like he steps into the creepy hospital or insane asylum or whatever and it turns into Jacob's fucking ladder.
Yeah, that'd be alright.
Right?
I wouldn't complain about that.
It just... And... I watched the making of video. I think it's just Making the Evil Within.
Yeah.
And Mikami made some really good points, actually, about how survival horror, you know, you put too much... If you don't give the player enough control, enough action, it becomes utter despair, right? There's no reason to play it.
Yeah.
But if you put in too much action, they're not scared anymore.
No.
And honestly, I think that's one of the complaints people have had with those last couple of Resident Evil games.
They're just action games now. Yeah.
Yeah. And
the big complaint I have with the Resident Evil games is they're so caught up in their own goddamn convoluted, shitty continuity.
And now we've got Mikami free of that shitty continuity.
We got Mikami free of, 15 years worth of Resident Evil gobbledygook? And let's face it, the game was nonsense from the get-go.
And this is the guy who's been responsible for Resident Evil 4.
Yep.
Right? So, which a lot of people consider was the revolution in third-person shooters.
That was the best of those games, in my opinion.
Resident Evil 4?
Yep.
Really?
Yep. Loved it.
Okay.
He's also responsible for Vanquish, which was my choice game of the year 2010. Okay.
Yep.
Great, great shooter. And he had a fairly big hand in Shadows of the Damned.
He did.
Which was a just super crazy Mexican Day of the Dead shooter.
Yep.
Which I've yet to play.
It was pretty good.
It was pretty good.
It was different. It was very, very odd.
Enjoy what we have. The oddness probably had more to do with Suda 51 than Mikami.
A lot more to do with Suda 51, I'd say.
But seeing this guy returning to what he obviously has a big love for with survival horror.
Yep.
And I know there was a lot of snide comments made on the internet about, he unveils his new game and it's just a live action teaser. You know what? Being that cynical is fucking exhausting. It really is.
Yep.
I'm going to be excited about this game.
Yeah. It's easier.
Yep. It's easier to be excited.
While we're in the announcement train, woo-woo! Announcement train coming through. Konami and Kojima Studios have confirmed Metal Gear Solid Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
More Metal Gear Solid. Oh my god, is there any end to the Metal Gear Solid? A compilation featuring Metal Gear Solids 1 to 4, the original Metal Gear and Metal Gear 2, and Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker, which is the high-def version that was included in the HD pack last year. No word on whether or not the game will be coming with a pack of smokes.
Probably not.
Probably not. I don't think that it'd get past marketing. Sadly, Metal Gear Solid Twin Snakes remains criminally lost and obscure in the GameCube era.
Hmm.
Which makes me sad.
Yeah.
Because that was a badass game.
Well, I love Metal Gear Solid, but Twin Snakes was superior.
It was. It was.
And I mean, how could it not be superior? You know, it was just taking what was great about Metal Gear Solid and applying all the new gameplay to it.
It was taking what was great about Metal Gear Solid 2 and applying it to Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah.
Which was pretty deadly.
Yeah.
Kojima, I read a little thing about, like, from Kojima about it, basically how his whole ambition here is he wants someone to be able to experience the entire series on one console. So, you know, PS3 or Xbox 360, pick your poison kind of thing, right?
It's only on PS3.
Is it only PS3? Oh, okay, sorry. I thought it was both.
Wow.
Well, it's only on PS3.
So the Xbox 360 can't handle Metal Gear Solid 4.
I forgot about that, actually. Yeah, they did basically say pretty much that Metal Gear Solid 4 will never, ever see the light of day on 360. So there you go. You know, if you own a PS3, you can experience the entire run.
Great.
Which is good.
Yeah, that is good, especially for people who have never played it and want to, like, dive in.
The only drag would be getting past the rather aged 3D graphics of Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah.
Which, in and of itself, is a phenomenal game.
Yeah. But if you're buying the collection,
yeah,
you're probably willing to look past that.
Yeah. I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I'm thinking.
Great.
Actually, you should probably read this last news story.
Should I?
Yes, because I know nothing about this. Go ahead, Steve.
Okay.
Read it off.
Remember the XCOM shooter that was announced a couple of years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Do you?
No,
do you
I don't.
Really?
I'm
no,
just
I didn't
pretending.
Think you did. too much bellyaching and discern and, you know, there was much consternation and wringing of hands on the internet and people were all pissy and moany because XCOM was always a strategy series, not a shooter or an RPG or yada, 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 yada. So then last year, finally, they got the new XCOM. You know, it was good. It was critically lauded and won some Game of the Year awards and whatnot. More power to it. I haven't played it yet, so I couldn't vouch for it. I haven't played an XCOM game since the old days. But this new one that had up to now just been called XCOM Shooter,
right,
is coming back as The Bureau, XCOM Declassified.
Huh.
It's now a third-person, tactical third-person shooter, squad-based. So that's much closer to the XCOM roots.
Right.
It's all set in the Kennedy era. And you're playing as, like, a G-Man who goes around basically covering up,
nice,
you know, alien conspiracy stuff.
And Kennedy's affairs.
Probably.
Maybe.
Probably that, too. But I gotta say, it sounds absolutely fantastic. And the first trailer is a live-action teaser called Burn Room. Was awesome.
Cool. I'll have
absolutely
to check that out.
Awesome. So I'm super excited. I will also mention it's developed by, I think it's 2K Marin. Who are the guys responsible for Bioshock 2, which, technically speaking, was a pretty solid game.
Right.
And you really liked, you dug Bioshock.
I loved all of them. Well,
yeah,
we've
so
talked about this at length.
Yeah, so there you go. It's the guys who developed Bioshock 2.
Great.
And it's no longer a first-person shooter, so it's a little truer to the series. Third-person,
right.
Team-based tactical shooter. I'm on board.
Nice.
I'm there.
And lastly, and perhaps the most exciting bit of news this week,
is...
Oh, the results are in from the last auction of what was left of THQ's properties.
Mmm.
And Steve, you know all about this, so go ahead.
Okay, basically everything that wasn't nailed down or on fire at THQ has now been sold.
Which is some pretty exciting properties, if you ask me.
Yeah,
Darksiders! Oh, yeah.
Among the properties that all have a new home, Darksiders, Red Faction, MX versus ATV. Womp, womp, womp. Summoner. Anybody remember Summoner?
No.
I remember Summoner.
I remember Summoner.
Summoner 2 had one of the greatest bonus features ever.
What did Obsidian buy? Was it Obsidian bought something?
Shut up, Larry!
No. But anyway, most of the stuff, about 98% of what was left, we had two big ones. We had the Homeworld franchise was grabbed up by Gearbox, which is pretty cool. I'm cool with that. You know, all right, Gearbox branching out. Maybe they're going to get into some real-time strategy. Cool. I can't think of a better way to do it than with Homeworld, which was amazing. But the other big buyer was a relatively small European company called Nordic Games,
mm-hmm.
who, until recently, haven't released anything. They are a new startup. They're a fairly new company. They picked up the pieces when Joe Wood, which is a European publisher, most of their stuff is PC related. Some of it gets brought over to North America, but for the most part, PC, Eurocentric, went under. Their biggest property was probably the Gothic franchise, which was published by Joe Wood in Europe. The last game was brought over here by, I can't even remember who.
Dreamcatcher.
Yes, Dreamcatcher Interactive, a Canadian company, Dreamcatcher. And basically when Joe Wood folded, Nordic, this new startup company, Nordic Games, came in, scooped up Joe Wood and Dreamcatcher, and got the Gothic franchise mainly. But now they have gone in and basically for just under $5 million picked up everything that THQ has. These guys are not developers. So immediately the internet went absolutely batshit insane. Even
me as well. I was guilty.
Mr. Mercer kind of jumped the gun, and you know, nobody's perfect. Personally, I have nothing but faith in these guys, and I think it's very, very exciting.
Mm-hmm. The mission statement that Nordic Games,
their CEO,
I can't remember his name. I just call him Stig Thorgunson. I don't mean any disrespect.
Bjorn Jorgensen.
I cannot for the life of me remember this guy's name. Yeah. He had a really good mission statement.
Yep.
You know, basically talking about how we're not going to see any rushed out sequels because he doesn't believe in.
He actually, in his press release, he used the word shitty.
Yeah.
He actually said, we don't believe in shitty sequels.
That's awesome.
So he said, you're not going to see us rush a new Darksiders out onto the shelves.
Yeah. And I thought it was pretty cool that one of the first things they did was pick up the pieces of Dreamcatcher and reinstate Gothic, Arcania, yeah. Gothic 4 for PS3 release. Because it had always
what
been
what I also like, too, this yeah. mission statement from him was also basically an invitation for development studios
to pitch. Yeah.
He said, you know, we've got the money, we fronted the money to pick up these franchises.
Yeah.
Come and show us your goods.
Yeah.
Let's
we are a publisher. We are not a development house, and he's the first one. He's like he says himself, I'm a businessman. I'm not a talented programmer or a designer. I'm a businessman. We need talent. And you know, he's wherever possible, he's been talking to the original studios. There's unofficial word that he's already been talking to Crytek as far back as January about Darksiders. All of this stuff apparently has been in the works since January, and it's only just now that the ink is dry kind of thing.
Right.
I'm really excited to see what he does with Red Faction. I'd love to see a relaunch of Red Faction.
I'm That'd be great. Hugely excited about yeah. that. And maybe we'll hear a little bit more on that later.
Perhaps.
Yeah. Okay, back to business. We've got a blast processing first. I am proud to say that on this week's episode, you listeners are the first ones to hear it.
John's going to get laid.
Oh, hey! John is married with child. Okay, I got a little boy.
My cousin had a woman and he was... No.
Don't even go there. Thank you, Chewy. Kevin Woolridge, our very own Kevin Woolridge, is going to review a piece of gaming gear. Kevin, take it away.
I am. And even in the whole history of blast processing, even before my time, was there ever a gear
no,
review?
Yes, there was. There was the 3DS. We reviewed the 3DS. And
as a gadget.
I'm sorry.
I guess. It's a console, dude.
Carry on. Mr. Woolridge, you have the floor.
All right. And you know what? This doesn't really... It's not really a video game.
They're marketed towards gamers. They have a product called the Gamer.
Oh, that's true, yeah. The first time I heard about this particular product was on Penny Arcade as well, so...
Of course, yeah.
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 And it is the Sumo Beanbag Chair.
Woo! Now, which one did you get?
I got the Omni, which is the original and cheapest one, aside from the Ottoman, but I'm not going to get an Ottoman.
A beanbag Ottoman.
Yeah.
Seems kind of wasteful.
Yeah. Awesome.
You know who buys a beanbag Ottoman, Kevin? A hipster.
And you're not one of those.
And you're not one of those.
I'm writing that down.
Next time you just break that out, written proof.
Sorry, recording that in my notes.
I agree with you. Chewie says, no, Kevin, you're not a hipster. Yeah,
you'd like that, wouldn't you?
Anyway, I ordered a sumo beanbag chair because I got really obsessed with them very quickly at over like 3 days.
I got obsessed with the website very quickly.
Yeah, I know you did. I know you did. And I ordered it online, which was awesome, and I got it within like 8 days.
Well, the shit went in Quebec, man, right?
Yeah.
Awesome.
But still, we're in Newfoundland.
We are.
And that was flying ground. Flying ground. Traveling ground.
Flying low.
That's right. So I got it fairly quick. I was pretty happy. It's gigantic. I mean, it's the cheapest one, so I assume it's the smallest one of the beanbag chairs.
Yeah, they make like a couch one, don't they?
There's like a couch one.
They've got ones called... within Canada, you can get one called Sultan, which is the size of a decent size recliner. And then there's the Gigantor, which is about the size of a loveseat. There is one the size of a king-size bed
that you can get in the States, right, yeah.
Called the Titan.
Yeah.
See... No, I can't even repeat what I'm
thinking. Good, I'm glad. Anyway, it's huge. Yeah. It's essentially a big square pillow, right? So it's not like a beanbag, like a cheap beanbag chair you're going to get anywhere else where it's like a tube.
So it's not like one of these crappy ones you buy at Walmart and you buy the stuffing and fill it yourself.
God, no. This is essentially a big square pillow. And because it's square, you can... There are different ways you can sit on it in terms of adjusting it and shaping it, which is really awesome. Like, you can just lay it down as a pillow and lie on it, right, if you want to just lie on the floor. Or you can put it up on its side, squish down those sides, and it turns into kind of like a ute shape kind of thing you could sit in, or turn it the other way and jam your hand down in it and make it like a little, you know, nook kind of thing. And there's so many different ways
to sit
in.
Can you lean back in it?
You can lean back in it depending on how you arrange it, right?
Okay.
And that's the thing that I was a bit worried about, because I've seen other kind of chairs like this where you really need to lean it against something. Yeah. But you don't need to, depending on how you use it.
I had a crappy beanbag chair my last year of high school, my first year of university, and a lot of the time it just felt like I was sitting on the floor with a pillow behind me.
Yeah. This doesn't feel like that. But because, of course, it's going to be a little bit low, it's going to feel a little bit weird having your feet on the floor. Right? Because it's not like standing in a chair at 70 foot. It's more like you're, you know. So I usually use a little tiny pillow that I've got just to put my feet on.
See, that's why they want you to buy the ottoman.
Well, yes, and I've read that online of customers who have bought the ottoman as well. And they're like, oh, you know, beanbag chairs are awesome with the ottoman. And where the ottoman is like 70 bucks, which is cheap for their stuff, it's kind of a nice little addition to have in your house as extra seating, right? If you're a hipster. see how
you
I
do like
that?
Weezer a lot.
Yeah. Anyway, I paid $130 for it, and as soon as I put it in my living room, I wanted another one. I was like, I want to get rid of my couch and put in another one.
So it's like a tattoo.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Elizabeth, if you're listening to this, which of course you're not, because you don't love and support my program, we're getting rid of the recliner, and I'm getting the Sultan.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love it.
What are you laughing at? It's not going to happen, is it?
No.
It's great for gaming. I'm afraid to eat in it. I haven't eaten in it yet. But it's made of a type of material that you can just
wipe
down.
Yeah, they advertise that on the site with the pictures of the hot girl sitting in the chair.
Yeah.
They advertise that it's just pretty much clean wipe away.
Yeah. She doesn't come with a chair, does she?
No. The higher end ones, you can actually take the stuffing out, I don't know how, and wash the covering.
Because the larger ones, the stuffing itself is inside of another bag.
Yeah.
And the covering is just, you get a corduroy or micro suede or whatever, just kind of zips over it, right?
Yeah.
See?
Now, this one
I'm
you
glad that's wiped away, because the other thing that I was thinking earlier would probably require it to be...
That is absolutely disgusting.
That's gross, dude. Now, this one does have
what's
a zipper on
so gross
well.
About that?
I'm married with child, okay?
I'm single, that's not gross, but this is a podcast about video games and gadget and gear related stuff.
I'm just saying.
Anyway.
The horizontal mambo on one of these things has to be interesting.
You had to go there.
I did.
There is a
somebody
there is a zipper on the Omni. So that you can refill it if you want to, because you can actually order bags of their beads online.
Okay.
Yeah, but it comes, like, it's got, like, this extremely powerful Velcro over where the zipper part is. I mean, there's no way you're ever going to bust this thing.
Right on.
So, yeah.
Except you wanted to do the horizontal mambo on it, maybe. Hey, okay, look, Papasan was pretty cool. All right, that's all I gotta say.
All right, and so, that was you know, the that's like, my review.
In a beanbag chair, that'll be next.
That's my review of the Sumo Omni Beanbag.
Did you call Mowgli's on Sumo Sec?
Oh my god! What's next? I know we got something else coming up. Space, the final frontier. Star Trek is out now. The video game.
It boldly goes where no other game has gone before.
Not really. No. It tries to.
Yeah, lots of games went in the bargain bin, man.
Oh,
actually, no. Let's back it up. Let's back that up a little bit. I'm just sitting.
You butt fucker.
You beast meat.
Yeah. Let's just back the train up here a little.
I'm
bit.
I'm gonna beat you like I'm under.
I'm just sitting at the table here because Star Trek came out, and reviewers, ironically and coincidentally, however you want to call it, played the role of Ike Turner.
They did.
And
it's true.
Yeah, no, it's... And I, honestly, I think Steve Power found that a little bit unfair.
I did. I really did. I gotta say, I'm... After spending a fair chunk of time with Star Trek, I'm really, really enjoying it.
I'm glad. Yeah, I played a little bit of it as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it nails the atmosphere. I think it really gets the feel of Trek down. And my biggest fear, like, after seeing the commercials and stuff for it, was it was just going to be a third-person shooter. It was just going to be constant bang, 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 bang. And that's not Star Trek. Yeah. It isn't. But the exploration feels good. You know, it's a nice mix of, you know, downtime. You got some talking going on. You got a pretty cool little story that fits nicely into the new Abrams version of Star Trek. You got all the actors reprising their roles, even though the facial capture is a little creepy looking. Not so good.
I said it earlier, and I'll say it again, man. That it kind of suffers from the Harry Potter Order of the Phoenix syndrome, where all the characters look sick.
I can see
that. You know, they look... There's too much texture on their faces.
They look plague-ridden.
Yeah, they do. They look like almost like zombies, but not quite. Like they're about to turn.
And you've got a loving family member standing just off camera with a shotgun pointed right at their head.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, the game itself, the gameplay is nice. I like the gameplay. Controls are a little wonky. But it feels like a Trek game. You
it
know
does,
what?
Yeah. The moment I found myself walking through the hallways of the Enterprise, I was sold.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh, I want to buy this.
I was sold when I hit the space station.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just immediate gunfight.
Yeah.
Like, there was not one point in that level where you break out a phaser or a rifle or a blaster or whatever the hell. The entire level is action, but it's adventure action, you know?
Yeah.
There's no shooting. It's all... Just you get it's intense, and you're moving from cover to cover and stuff. But like that sequence on the outside of the space station when the solar shield keeps failing, and the blasts of sunlight are shooting over the place while you're stuck behind cover, like that part was awesome.
Yeah,
that was intense.
Yeah,
that was cool. It was really cool.
Yeah,
and it feels like Star Trek, you know. And I mean, like I've since gotten into some boss like one boss fight situation, which was really cool, hard but cool. And, of course, there's been, like, I'm at a point now, the bad guys are in it, and there is a bit more gunfighting going on, but it still feels legit.
Cool.
It still feels like Star Trek. I'm pleased with it. There is an ugly side. The game looks solid when it's not moving. You know,
right.
It looks pretty good. It looks like mid-range of this generation. You know, it looks like something, not necessarily a launch title, not like an Xbox or PS2 game in high def, but, you know, it looks like an early 360 PS3 game. It looks like something that might have came out within 2006, 2007, you know? Okay, that's fine. In motion, it is clunky as hell.
Yeah.
The animations are total last-gen animations. You know, the mocap work and stuff, the characters just don't really feel as attached to the world as they should.
Yeah.
It does, in motion, look like a PS2 or an Xbox game. Which is not a bad thing if it's a good game. But, I mean, that seems to be why it's taken so much of a piss-pounding, is technical reasons.
Yeah, the climbing mechanics are really clunky and unresponsive.
They are a little clunky and unresponsive, but now if you go back to the original Uncharted after playing the other two or Tomb Raider, that'll feel clunky and unresponsive too.
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
For sure.
I love the banter.
The banter's fantastic.
Oh yeah, you can't beat it, man.
Yeah.
I was laughing at, we don't like certain death, do we? Do you have any other advice for us, sir? Yes. Try to live long and prosper.
Just little things.
Yeah,
little things. You know, I think it nails Star Trek pretty well, and unless it turns into a total utter shoot fest in the final act.
So has there been? Because for me, Trek is not just about exploration on surfaces. but a lot of it is exploration via the ship. Do you get to sit in that chair and do any kind of commanding?
There are a few missions where you control the ship. There are a few space battles.
Okay.
But I don't think there's anything where you're inside the ship controlling it, no.
Okay.
I think it's more outside the ship controlling it.
Right, right.
You know, you have the ship on your screen and you're using phasers and photons.
Okay.
And it does look pretty badass.
Okay. Cool.
Star Trek.
I'm sold on it. You know, and I hate to be this guy. If it drops in price, I'll definitely pick it up.
No, I can see that, man. It didn't look to me like a $59.99.
I think it should have been released a little closer to the movie.
Yeah.
I think they could have knocked the release back about 2 weeks, and I think they should have released it at $39.99.
Yeah.
And then I think in a few months' time, they'd be singing an entirely different tune.
Yeah.
You know?
I'd say it'll be $29 before we know it.
Yeah. Oh, I dare say by midsummer, that'll be,
yeah,
you know, $29 or less.
Yeah.
But it's worth it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
it's definitely. I mean, if you see it for even $39, it's worth $39.
Yeah.
It's worth a $40 price tag, mm-hmm, just not necessarily a $60 price tag.
Yeah, I'll pick it up the same reason I picked up the Hellboy game. Because I like the property.
Right? Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I'm a fan. So
that's it.
Cool.
Star Trek.
What do you want me to say about it? Oh, we're back.
We're back.
So, getting back to what we were saying earlier about Nordic Games, or Nordic, having purchased up all those luscious properties from what's left of THQ,
yes,
which is nothing. Okay, and we posed this question earlier in the week,
and nobody answered it.
And, well, I was saving up for this episode.
You guys are all lame. All you people who listen to this show, who all five of you,
yeah, who
are lame.
Hey, I know somebody who listens to it.
Yeah,
somebody at work came up to me and said they liked Blast Processing.
I'm really disappointed, really? That the biggest reaction I've ever got on my Facebook page was by posting 8-bit music for a weekend. I'm crushed at that. Absolutely crushed. But okay,
we are not the intellectuals, John. Leave that to console culture.
Whoa.
We don't have anywhere near enough weed in our system.
Did you say you want me to start smoking weed before each episode? I can do that.
It's 420, yo. Time for Blast Processing.
So, pose a question. You are a young development studio, game developer. Nordic Games has asked for a pitch.
Okay.
Take any of the properties they bought, any of the former THQ properties, and cook up your dream sequel or your dream reboot.
Okay.
Who wants to go first?
Kev.
I'll go first because it's going to be very short.
Yeah?
Give us a...
Like Kevin.
You son of a bitch.
Oh, burn.
It's going to be very short. I was trying to come up with something to say to you, but I couldn't. It's going to be a third...
It's going to be very short.
Yeah.
Like John's prong.
Like John's John.
I want to see a third Darksiders... And don't change a goddamn thing, because it's already great. Just give me a third one in the series. Don't reboot it. Don't change it up. Don't mess with the formula.
Don't go back to more like the first one than the second one.
From what I hear, I haven't actually played the second one yet. It's on my list.
It's on mine too.
It's good. Yeah. Just not as good as the first one.
Yes. So, you know, yeah, that's what I would like to see.
Now, you got one problem with that, though. You no longer got Joey May leading the air team.
I don't think it's really necessary. There's enough Madalikes out there to...
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not actually too...
And Greg Capullo is actually making coin on the Batman now, so he's not available
anymore. He's not available anymore.
Yeah. That's what I do.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's okay. It.
How about you, Mr.
Clean and simple.
Okay. Imagine this for a second.
Okay.
All right. Screen is dark.
Yeah.
You hear rumbling out in the street.
Mm-hmm.
You hear a knock on the window, and a flashlight shines in through your... Shines it through the window.
Yep.
And you hear a guy, you know, calling, come on, they're moving into the street.
Okay.
You get up, and he says, grab whatever you can carry. You know, grab whatever weapon you got. You reach over, and you pick up your trusty mining hammer.
Okay.
Oh, he's going to be cool, like sci-fi like mining hammer. Like he's going to have a rocket on the end of it, or like a grav drive or something to make it, like...
Okay, you just lost me.
No, but you run out into the streets, and the workers, the miners, builders, and the working class on the colonies of Mars have finally headed up to here with the Altor Consortium, or whatever they're called, the big corporation that controls their lives. Revolution has broken out onto the streets.
Okay.
I want Red Faction. Not Red Faction Color of War or Red Faction Shade of War, any subtitle or any sequel. Red Faction. Relaunch like they did Tomb Raider. Go right back to square one. You know, I don't even... like. First thing I'd do, I'd cut the open world out.
Okay.
Volition did that pretty awesomely with the last two games.
Yep.
It's been done. I think open world games are absolutely played out, done to death. Unless you're like some super developer like Rockstar, right?
Yep.
I just want a great, great, solid, concrete third-person action game.
Yep.
All sorts of crazy guns. You know, yes, your melee weapon's going to be the hammer, because, I mean, that's Red Faction. It's awesome.
Yep.
You know, and I just want a crazy 10 to 12-hour campaign of just scaling conflict, big, huge boss fights, great story about a, you know, kind of like Russian-style revolution, only set it on a colony of Mars.
Okay. That's great. That sounds pretty cool.
Sounds good. Steve?
Okay. Where to begin?
Now.
A snowy Christmas Eve.
Sicily, 1932. I was a...
Stop it.
Okay.
Leave the guns. Take the cannolis.
1945. Okay. Shortly after the end of the Second World War. Hitler is missing, presumed dead. Stalin is rampaging across Europe. A startling discovery brings a sudden peace and a mass exodus when space flight happens. After colonizing terraformed Mars... You still with me? Kevin, still with me?
I'm still with you. Get your ass to Mars.
Get your ass to Mars. A former US GI gets a job, you know, in the land of milk and honey that winds up being a total slavery under the hands of what is essentially, like, communist Russia. Gets out of his little encampment, out of the mines, finds a sovereign city-state, and, joins up with a group there. Whatever happens, happens. You know, it's a not open world, but I'll say more like a Zelda kind of thing. You know, you've got one hub where you get all your missions from, and you've got nine different little cities, different little settings where each of your missions takes place. You were an OSS operative during the Second World War. You were solo. You were basically like a one-man hit squad named Parker. Under your new commander, you're freeing Mars from the Bolsheviks and the remnants of the Fourth Reich, or the Third Reich, or New Fourth Reich, or whatever, using tech from the era, you know, all World War II and previous technology. You're covert. You go into these areas that are stocked full of people, all just trying to eke out a living on this new frontier, so it's like a Wild West, and your mission is to kill nine lieutenants in each area. Your commanding officer is Nikolai fucking Tesla.
Nikola
Tesla.
Nice.
So it's a cross between Red Dead Redemption, something like Zelda or Darksiders,
right?
Assassin's Creed, and fucking World War II on Mars.
You're going to kill Thomas Edison?
Bang.
With a little Babylon 5 thrown in.
Fucking Mars, motherfucker.
Sorry, Mars all over, man.
So there you go.
Nice. I dig that.
I will play anything with Tesla.
That's mine. That's
great.
It. That's what I got.
Good.
It's pretty solid. So, to our listeners out there, take a look at the THQ properties that were bought up by Nordic.
Yeah, all of them. They're like pretty much everything.
Yeah, there's some good stuff in there. We just said Darksiders and Red Faction. That's two golden opportunities right there.
What would you do with Summoner?
Yeah.
Anybody remember Frontlines, Fuels of War? Really solid first-person shooter.
MX versus ATV?
No. Just no.
My inner babe and I'm hurt palpitating.
So, okay. Goods, bads, and uglies.
Good.
Good.
The fact that Nordic Games will not put out a shitty sequel.
I like that. I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think, Chewy? Do you like that? Really? I always thought you were a bit of a douche anyway.
What's that bad? What's that bad?
What do you think? Nintendo? The, ducking out of E3?
Nintendo ducking out of E3, it's not a good sign.
No,
it's not a good sign.
It's kind of... I want to say I'm saddened by that, but they brought it on themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't make it any less sad, don't it?
Yes, it does.
No, that makes me more of a smarmy douche.
You know, if everything after the Super Nintendo hadn't been a steaming pile, then...
Look at the smugness. Just look at it. It's still real to me, damn it.
But how many... Okay, we've got...
How many times have we had this conversation?
N64, how many good games?
We've had this conversation like a million times.
You didn't even own an N64. Shut up. Jesus.
Mario. Larry, don't take the piss.
All right, what's our ugly? Let's move on. What's our ugly?
Do we have an ugly this week?
Ugly. Injustice.
Injustice is... It's pretty looking, but it's ugly to play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of agree with Chewie. The animation in Star Trek.
Yeah.
It's pretty ugly.
Actually, that is ugly. Yeah. Their faces are ugly.
Their faces are also ugly.
Yeah.
Well, maybe the lead developer on it just got sick and tired of his wife swooning over Chris Pine. Yeah.
Hell no, I think, man, just the facial scans were so realistic that they got all the little scarring and grotesquery.
Yeah, they look like sandpaper, man. Their faces look like sandpaper. It's a video game. It's okay if it's
a game that succeeded in making Zoe Saldana ugly.
She didn't look too bad, actually. But the rest of them looked bad.
I think the worst was probably Chekhov.
Chekhov was pretty bad.
He was pretty hideous. He looked like his face was melting.
Yeah, I didn't think Spock sounded like Spock.
Well, it was Spock.
Yeah, I thought he was fine.
He sounded like he was reading off a cue card.
Yeah, he probably was.
Yeah, I'd say that was all done in a day.
And that's probably just Zachary Quinto doesn't know how to read, so... And we can't damn him for that.
This has been Blast Processing.
Okay.
Until next week, we remain...
Blast Processing.
We do.
Ever vigilant.
Like keeping a candle lit for all those lonely gamers out there.